Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survives.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I didn't turn my mic on.
Oh, see that? We have a microphone malfunction from Mrs. Mooch. So Mrs. Mooch, let's get right into it.
Well, it's almost Turkey Day.
Oh, well, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm already starting the fattening process, which I feel terrible about.
Prior to Turkey Day? You already fat?
Yeah, but I'm wearing my man boob bra right now, just holding everything together, so you can't really tell. But yes, I'm gaining some weight.
Oh, that's okay.
My Twitter hater said that I'm off the cocaine, so it looks like I've gained weight. I mean, it's like unbelievable. But anyway, I've never used cocaine. That's the truth. Let's go to Michael Avenatti, because I think this is like super important because he's a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so Los Angeles-based actress.
This is the part that's so surreal to me, because this is like me now. Now she's me. And which is so interesting, because I had this conversation with her the weekend of the Emmys. And she's like, you know, I met this guy. I'm not even from the States. I'm from Estonia. And I had no idea who he was. And we just completely hit it off. And that was before he became a public figure. And ever since then, it's been really hard for her. So I don't really know what happened here, because they...
Okay, she's you in what way? Okay, just for the record, everybody, I've never... hit my wife.
No,
I've never
I don't
had,
mean
ever been
that. I'm saying
domestic violence.
No,
in
I'm
my
saying
life
that
ever,
all of a sudden she's in the newspaper.
Right.
I'm reading her name.
Right.
Right.
By the way, I'm not saying Michael did it. I know. Do you think Michael did it? I have no idea. I can't. You know.
I don't think so, but I'm confused, because before her name came out, I was like, "That's complete and total bullshit." Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a podcast.
It's okay. Setup. I can't control my cursing.
They probably figure that you had a very clean mouth until you met me, and now you have a potty mouth.
Right.
It's okay. You can use the word bullshit on a podcast.
Okay, sorry. So yep. I thought it was total bogus until her name appeared, because now I'm like, okay, maybe it is real. I thought it was just like these random people coming out of the woodwork to try to frame him and take him down. But I'm confused by why she would do that, you know, because they seem to have a pretty solid relationship when we've spent time with them.
Yeah. And so now his two wives.
But again, that's why it's like, I feel like people, when they were like, oh, dear, when they saw me, my name sprawled across, they were like, what the heck is that? Because the same thing, I think people were like, oh, I thought they were fine. You know what I mean? I thought they were good. So why is that happening? You know?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, well, our situation got very stressful, obviously.
No, it's different from this, though. I'm just saying it was a parallel
personal
with
mistakes
the,
and things like that. And so, that's ultimately we have to figure out. I think what I found interesting here is that he was accused of it a couple of days ago. And it seems like she waited until she went for the restraining order. So, listen, I like Michael. I think it's super important for people that are on different sides of the political spectrum figure out a way to get along. I mean, I was with this guy, Hamilton Nolan, last night from Splinter, which was it's a left-leaning blog. It's sort of a takeover from Gawker. They screened the documentary Mooch. When the documentary was over, they asked me to sit for question and answering. I mean, they were just roasting me on the pit. I was like, where's the apple? Can you put the apple in my mouth so I can be a total porky pork on the spit, just spinning? But my attitude is I have no problem doing that. They asked me if I would go to a socialist rally, honey. The Democratic Socialists of America would invite me to one of their events. I said, no problem. yeah, exactly, right?
Not even I would go to that.
Yeah, but I would go.
What's it? So there's something, there's Democratic Socialists?
Yeah, Democratic Socialists
Those
of America.
Those are Bernie people?
I think it's like 200 Ocasio-Lopez, Miss Ocasio-Lopez is like handing out free stuff. And
that
so,
should be interesting.
So
combo.
I was like, okay, no problem. I'm happy to go. Just I don't want any violence because problem is when you disagree with somebody and they actually are usually wrong, they get upset. You know, that's why you're not allowed to speak at campuses. That's not what you're allowed to. You know, most left-leaning people, because they're so literally wrong about the argument, literally wrong about the policy, that you can't have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that experience.
So, but go back to Michael. So mm-hmm. you like Michael.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously like his
Morelli.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what do you think? And then what do you think about the notion of due process? So now he's in the category of Kavanaugh and Donald Trump and every other person. There's no due process in the country. He's a domestic violence abuser.
Well, for me, it would be an easy no-brainer thing. If she says he did it, I'm going to assume he did because I know her and I have absolutely – I'm a pretty good judge of character. I don't mm-hmm. think she would say that if it wasn't true. But – if this is some sort of type of political operation and someone's framing them or something and she doesn't really know how this happened and she got dragged into it, I would say I still think he's kind of a relatively normal person.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever normal means. But I just think he has so much at stake. It would be odd to risk every single thing, a presidential nomination, just his notoriety. He was so involved with the Me Too movement.
Right.
So it would just be an odd thing.
His career as an attorney. Also, his two former wives are saying that they never had any incidents
right,
like that at
all. And he has two daughters. So it's right. just an odd thing to think that he would, for one split second, risk all of that mm-hmm. and put all that on the line
all right,
for
well,
something.
We'll have to get, at some point, we'll have to get Michael on the podcast when he's ready to come on. We'll
yeah, I think he's
we'll
too
ask
much,
him point blank. But
he's too entrenched
I get
in
it.
The
I
BS
hope,
right
I hope
now.
They're okay. And I also think that people should have some level of due process when they're accused of things. Again, I'm not saying he didn't do it. He could very well have done it, but we've got to sort of calm this stuff down in our society. So,
but you know what's so strange? This just goes to show you that anybody that, if you're long enough in the spotlight and it's at all politically driven, something is going to happen to you because the knives are out. So
do you think people are anesthetized to that now, or do you think that that's an effective strategy for oppositional research people to go after people like Michael Avenatti or myself or the president or Secretary Clinton?
I think we're becoming so semi-obliviously numb to it because it happens every day now. But I still think in the back of people's minds, there's a little kernel of doubt when you're looking at the person. Like, did that
so
really
happen? So I think it's a very, if we're going to be on the record, I think it's a very effective strategy. I watched that strategy unfold on myself personally. And I can't tell you the number of times I've been in a setting where I am conversing with somebody like, oh, wow. He's totally different than the way they portrayed him in the media. You and I were in Brussels last week. We spoke to 40 different families at the Harvard Club of Brussels dinner. I don't know. I think they had a different opinion of me after I was done speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's going to happen now. We're in the political character assassination business. We're in the targeted business to take people out. If you can destroy somebody's family, even better. Because now you've totally destabilized them and you've created generations of dysfunction for that family. And so that's even better for these malicious animals. And so, you know, I don't know where it will end, but I do know that the American people are turned off by this sort of stuff. And it's the reason why they by and large hate Washingtonian establishment politicians. And the good news about the internet and social media is that their chicanery and their games are being exposed, you know, and I feel like I have a personal 11-day PhD in Washington scumbaggery, and so I can actually see this stuff for what it is. So let's turn to a moment of hypocrisy, and I'd like to get your reaction to this. Ivanka Trump is using a private email server from the White House, and she's emailing cabinet officials and other governmental officials from her private email server while she is working for the president, who happens to be her father And your reaction to that is what?
Well, I mean, I was saying earlier that I think even if she literally emailed the glam squad from her official email address and it had absolutely nothing to do with any sort of classified information or anything sensitive, they would go after her either which way, just because they're ready to pounce. They're waiting to pounce. They're looking for something to
Her personal emails are not captured by the Freedom of Information Act, something called FOIA.
Right.
The WhiteHouse.org emails are, and so...
But that's what she doesn't strike me as a lazy person, neither does Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So what is the deal? Is it just lack of sleep or some sort of technical malfunction? Why can't... I have my work email address on my phone and I have my personal email address on my phone and I toggle back and forth between them. I know very specifically which one I'm using and I'm specific about it. So if you're working for the president and you're in the White House or you are Hillary Clinton, you're the Secretary of State, whatever, don't you know what you're using? And wouldn't you be very, very, very diligent about not crossing?
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
I mean, that's going to live in infamy, that crazy stuff that this guy did, right? But
Anthony was on some... Where was he?
No, I was on the Jeremy Vine show.
Oh, we were in London.
They showed that clip.
And he's like on this very popular, it's almost like the Today Show. And he's on a panel for the whole entire show. And they play that clip like in seriousness. And it's one of these like inside jokes between me and Anthony. And so when they played it, I was watching from my hotel room and I'm like, oh my God, how is he not like rolling right now? But he totally kept a straight face.
Well, let me just give some context. Okay, so we think that the...
I don't remember.
It's one of the most outrageous, insane things, and that the fact that he was like still able to win the presidency after the way he handled that. And so just so everybody knows that my wife is coming across as beautiful and charming and smart, but there is a giddiness to her personality, and she has played the YouTube. I don't remember.
I don't know what I said.
She's literally played this thing probably 1 million times, like Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man. Okay, so it's like 4 o'clock Wapner. It could be 3 o'clock. I don't know. I don't remember. So
you're acting like you weren't laying next to me in the bed.
Okay, so
and watching
I think it's one of the funniest things that I've ever seen. Now, I've said this, and someone's listened to the podcast. They think that we're taking out handicapped people.
No, we're not. We're laughing at him and his ridiculousness.
There's nothing to do with that. We're laughing at him.
The gall and the balls to go up there and do that and be so
idiot.
That's what we're laughing at.
What is
we're
he like, even doing? What
like,
is he doing?
We're like,
doing?
How is he pulling this off?
I never know
what he's doing. Right? He's calling John McCain... I don't know. He likes his war criminals. I mean, war prisoners captured.
Well, that's the same
uncaptured.
Thing like McCraven and this Bin Laden thing. Like, he only took down like the most wanted man in the world, but it didn't happen soon enough.
Right,
it
would have been
done
nice if it happened quicker.
Soon, yeah. Like, what are you even talking about? You know,
he's like the epitome
of a Monday morning quarterback.
It's such a mistake because he's got 2 million people in the armed services and countless number of veterans, and he's got their families. And you can dislike a few of the political figures in the American military system, but going after him like that is different. Now, people say, well, why are you going after John Kelly, 40 years in the Marine Corps, and blah, blah, blah. It's different. John Kelly.
Well, that's a personal thing.
John Kelly took a political job. And then after I had worked super hard for the president, gave a ton of money, gave a ton of time and energy, made one mistake. You don't fire a guy like me like that. And so John Kelly and I will have an issue for the rest of our lives. I want to ask you about your syntax, your verbiage.
So when you say you don't fire a guy like me, like versus who else? Like he shouldn't fire anybody like that.
Oh yeah, anybody. But somebody, I mean, listen, if I came in with a axe and I took an axe to the side of the White House and you want to fire me abruptly like that and make that sort of a spectacle.
Are you talking about everything
scene?
That we as a family sacrificed and did for that campaign and you personally?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't fire me like that.
Right.
I mean, so it makes him congenitally a bad guy. And, you know, I strongly dislike the guy. And I got no problem calling him out for what he is.
There was definitely no mad love between him and John Kelly. Yeah, no, I got no problem.
I got no problem calling out his. The best thing that Rice Priebus has going for him is John Kelly, because it's the race to the bottom of the worst chief of staff in White House history. And so John Kelly, by virtue of his longevity, will be known historically as the worst chief of staff in White House history. Just a ridiculous sort of a guy. But let's go back to this. We've got Ivanka's email. Mm-hmm. And
So what do you think about it?
Well, what I think about it is that they're trying to avoid the Freedom of Information Act. They both know that, and that's why they're using the private server, because they know that's not going to be captured on FOIA. It's not going to get released at some point as part of the historical documentation of what they're doing. And so there's some sensitive material. They don't want to have a phone call about it for whatever reason, and so they're sending it via email. And so I think we got to change the rules. I think that there should be a safe space for these bureaucrats, these policymakers, these elected public servants.
No, but I'm confused. Assuming it was like a personal email on the private...
No, I think it was business. I think she's sending business information over her personal email. And the reason why, vice versa.
Yeah, I think.
I think it's business. Yeah. I think she's sending business to a cabinet official.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because she wants to avoid it going into the capture and archival system.
I just had like a 2 hour sleep blonde moment over there.
Yeah, and somebody said, "Well, doesn't the cabinet person, aren't they capturing on their end too? They might be, unless she's sending it to
personal.
She's sending it to a personal email on the cabinet side." And so the point being is
how did they discover this though?
That's a good question. There was an independent watch group that apparently picked this up somehow, or maybe somebody leaked it. You know, unfortunately, in Washington, if you want a friend, buy a dog. And so Ivanka could have sent it to somebody that she thought was friendly to her. And they said, oh, look at this. I'm getting a personal email from Ivanka Kushner Trump Trump Kushner. And she sends it to somebody and leaks it to the journalist. And the journalist reports it to CNN. And here we go. Around the merry-go-round again of disgust and cynicism. But for me, I'm going to defend both Secretary Clinton and Ivanka and say that there has to be, in our society now, because of the prolific use of email, there were whispering and confidential conversations in the corridor of the White House in the 1800s. And when they developed phones, there were whispering and confidential phone calls. And they should have some safe space among them where if they really want to send something to each other that they think shouldn't be in the archives for whatever reason, they should have the opportunity to do that. So,
like an opt-out.
That's what I'm calling for. So, but I hear you. And so the hypocrisy, that'll be a very big campaign point going forward because of all the stink that was made about Secretary Clinton's emails. So let me switch abruptly to my favorite topic Italian-American, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I want to ask you about
I was interested in this asylum thing quickly. I just wanted to see what you thought
about
that.
You want to talk about the asylum thing quickly?
Well, we can talk about Pelosi.
No.
Crazy
it's your podcast.
Pelosi.
Sean Hannity just told me that you're the star of Mooch and the Misses, and you're carrying the show, and I'm just your water boy.
Everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. I had numerous conversations with Sean Hannity at Fox, and Sean Hannity said...
What did Sean Hannity say? That's what we want to know, right? Sean Hannity, man. Great.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember. Great human being, Sean Hannity.
Okay, mention the asylum thing before we go on.
Mention it?
Yeah. So what do you think about the denial of the asylum?
I don't know. I haven't. So I just started thinking about this morning when I was coming into the podcast. And I don't know. What do you think?
Well, why are you saying you don't know? Because you're torn. You're torn.
Yeah. Right? It's a hard thing. With anything people related, I don't know. Especially, you can't ask me these things around the holidays.
All right, so let's just talk about it.
When I'm tired, I'm fighting with the border.
People are obviously fleeing some level of violence. They're probably feeling some level of crime. It's around the holidays. I'm trying to give the setup, and then we're going to go into the holidays.
I'm fighting with the mooch.
Oh, yeah.
You can't ask me emotional questions when we're in an argument.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Okay, so just for podcast listeners out there, the mooch and the missus are fighting right now. Okay, we're going to war over stuff that happened 15 to 24 months ago, and so what happens is when you. This is a very sexist comment to say. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but when you're married to a woman, they have an indelible memory. Like, my wife is not a black box, like recorder from the airlines. She's a blonde box, okay? And so what happens is anything that I've ever said, done, or written is a tattoo ink stain inside of her brain, and it's right inside of her forehead, a tattoo.
No,
to
you know
skull.
What we need to ask our listeners?
So go ahead.
Could we ask our listeners?
Yeah.
So I have this habit of, I think he does it too, but he tries to pretend that he doesn't. But when he sends me like jerk off texts that are like so nasty, I take screenshots and I save them for all of eternity. And then
I don't
when
do
I
not,
feel like
I do not do that.
No, I think you do.
No, I don't. I'm not.
You don't have anything.
No, on the five children. Uh-huh. Okay, I do not do that. No, because I figure it's in the moment. You're at least half Italian, but the way you effing act, you're probably like 105% Italian. Mm-hmm. And so you get very temperamental and crazy. And so I said, okay, that's a bad moment. Let's let the moment pass. Not you. I
no,
have a bad
he's
moment.
So interesting.
You freeze dry it like I'm Han Solo in the goddamn movie, episode 6.
Okay, so he
I'm
thinks
frozen
that
in the fucking,
it's a moment in time. Like, you could literally say or do anything to the person, and then it's a moment in time, so you just move on. That's his,
so my wife thinks I'm Hannibal Lecter, where I'm going to fucking stab her, carve her up, and then have
and
a
then
fucking
he's like, what happened? That was yesterday.
Then I'm going to have a bottle of Chianti while I'm eating her. Okay?
He's like, listen, I'm gonna rake you over some hot coals, and then in like 5 minutes, going to be like, what do you want to do for dinner? That's him.
Okay, all right. I grew up in a
and I'll be upset about it, and he'll be like,
I grew up
what
in
are
a
you so upset about? That
dark,
was like 2 days ago that I said that I hated you and okay. You were ugly and everything.
I never, ever have said that, okay? And I did grow up in a morosely dark Italian family, okay? Everybody loves Raymond, had nothing on the retardo family I grew up in.
Right.
So, all right, so go ahead. Ricky Ricardo. I didn't say retardo. I
right,
said Ricardo.
Exactly.
I said the Ricardo
family.
You're
going to get in family. Trouble for
that, too. I didn't say the
Ricardo.
You're
going to be like Kim Kardashian has to go on and apologize for saying, like, oh.
Well, that's the other thing, okay? Everything is a microaggression, okay? You can't, one thing comes at him, oh, he said something terrible. We got to issue an apology. Okay, hey, people say terrible things. There's been 5,500 years of communication, and
Neil,
people do say terrible
things.
Neil,
having a fun time with the sound bites, but the mooch is just talking over
the
sound
right
bites.
Over. Okay,
yeah.
So I love my wife, even though she's mad at me, and so it's fine. But what happens is, and there are some men that are listening to the podcast, so here's what happens. You got to be very careful out there, okay? One syllable gets out of place, okay? It's like the way this blonde next to me blow dries her hair. You can't have one piece of frizz. You go into absolute apocalypse, you know, epileptic seizure of one piece of frizz is hanging out. And that's you with your syllables, men. So what you got to dial back your syllable use, and you got to remember that whatever you're saying is being is going to be tattooed inked into the inside of the forehead of your wife or spouse's brain.
Right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's talk about the asylum, though.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
So the problem with the asylum is it's absolutely terrible because these people are fleeing something, but we're trying to control the border. And so you have the ACLU, which used to be 35 years ago when I was in law school, a little more balanced. They were always left-leaning, but now they are just whack-doodle left-leaning. They won't champion any right-leaning civil liberty violation, only left-leaning now. So they're out there. And they want to help these people.
You know what, though?
And the judge basically said, slow it down.
I have an interesting take on this now that we were in Europe and just got back from Europe. So we were at a dinner, and we're the only Americans there, I think with the exception of maybe one other person or something like that. And I actually...
An alcoholic who will remain unidentified for the purpose of this podcast.
Correct.
Go ahead.
AKA
an American alcoholic.
What's her name from the Gilligan's Island? Who was the very wealthy lady with the pearls?
Oh, Mrs. Howell.
So we'll just call her Mrs. Howell.
Okay, so Mrs. Howell.
Even though she was 35 and calling everyone darling.
Raging alcoholic. But anyway, okay, so there was one American. You were making a point. I just wanted to point out that there was heavy alcohol consumed.
Right. No, the point of this whole thing was that we were the solo dolo Americans and in a room of Europeans. And a bunch of people started expressing their opinions about how they don't even need America, and that if America just pulled out and became totally American-centric tomorrow, it wouldn't affect anybody. And I got like batshit crazy because that's insane. And it made me very defensive of our country. And it actually made me feel like a Trump supporter because it gave me like this moment of clarity where I finally understood what he was talking about. I don't know if it's because I'm like in a foreign land or what the heck it was, but it made me very defensive of our borders and of our country and of our benevolent nation status, how we're always shelling out money and resources to other countries and we're never turning the focus back on our own people.
Okay, so that's Trump, America first.
Right, so I actually pivoted slightly towards the concept, not towards the person, Donald J. Trump, but towards the concept. And I understand what he's getting at. And I wish he could just amend his message and his tone because it actually makes so much sense. Like, if we don't protect our borders, we're just going to have a free-for-all. And it's like the rich uncle who's constantly giving money to his family and to his nephews and to his nieces. And at some point, that Daddy Warbucks status is going to run out and we're going to have nothing else to give anybody. So we have to like fix our own house before we start taking care of everybody else. And I just wanted to say that was my little 2 seconds of clarity from the trip.
So what's interesting about the conversation now is the intellectual evolution of people when they start to hear other people as opposed to talk over them or demonize each other because they may be on different sides of the political spectrum. So what happens is you get the information, you have a political philosophical point of view, you get the information, and then all of a sudden perhaps you can get into the middle or seek some kind of balance as a result of having the information. You would have been blown
away. You know, it's almost like when your mother's like freaking crazy, like mine and yours, but then like some random person says something about your mother and you're like, hey, that's my mother. Don't say that. You know what I'm saying?
How about when your husband says something about your mother? You go crazy, right?
Well, you know better.
I love you, mother.
I mean, don't know better, but
I do know better.
You don't say anything anymore. You just keep it to yourself.
Get the hell out of here. See, here we go
again.
You
don't love my mother?
Ma, you're probably not listening to the podcast.
She doesn't listen to this. She doesn't care what we do.
Okay, she doesn't care what I do. I don't love your mother. No, what we do. I do love your mother. I totally love your mother. Your mother's great to my kids. She's great to me. And I have a lot of respect for your mom.
Okay. Well, so you can say whatever you want. Respect and love are two different things.
But okay, so let me ask listeners out there, okay, do you ever have an in-law issue? Ever? Has there never been
an in-law issue? Well, like, so for this Thanksgiving, people are probably
wondering what
we're
doing. Is that why the sitcoms always have the in-laws?
Do you think people are wondering what we are doing? This is our second Thanksgiving back after we...
almost got divorced.
Right, so... what are we doing? Last Thanksgiving, we didn't spend time together. We went our own ways. This year,
we're trying to visit both families, and we're trying to do it in a little bit more of a functional way. Mm-hmm. Are we not?
Yeah, I'm not seeing my family for Thanksgiving. But
you're not seeing your family day after Thanksgiving?
No.
No? Why not?
But that's okay. Because they're not around. They're in Atlanta, and they're in upstate New York.
Okay.
So it's just logistics.
Okay. Well, we'll see them very shortly thereafter.
Yes. But
I'm like overwhelmed with guilt. Do you have like some guilt sound effects here? I mean, do you have like a Jewish mother that can come in over the top and say, Anthony, eat your breakfast or something?
I mean,
it's like unbelievable. It's like an unbelievable amount of guilt.
It's okay.
All right. Well, all right.
All I know is that Town and Country Flowers in Manhasset has, like, their business has skyrocketed.
Okay. So when Deirdre's mad at me, okay, and I'm going to let you know that there's a law of diminishing effect, okay? When Deirdre's mad at me, I have my assistant order from Town and Country Flowers in Manhasset, so we're giving them a shout out. Okay, and my assistant just says, you sure you don't want to buy a flower shop at this point? Okay, because I'm set. Deirdre's received more flowers on the island in the kitchen than most funeral homes get.
I always calling up and telling them what to write on the card. It must be like mortifying for her, you know what I mean?
What? Well, you don't like the creative things I write on these cards?
No, but it's like so funny to picture her saying it to the man and the man writing it down on the card.
The man is in love with me, by the way, just so you know. If the man sees me in Manhasset, he's going to like tongue kiss me right there on Plandome Road. He could not be happier with me right now. He's got my credit card like memorized.
Oh my God.
It's like, okay, dear. Yes, I'm going to get it to Mrs. Scaramucci right away.
The best is that our kids are like, Mom, your flowers are here. Like, they think that it's like something that's supposed to come every week.
Okay, so I was in so much trouble. I was in so much trouble last night. I was sending like massive amounts of flowers. I mean, the weight of the flower package that arrived. I mean, it was overwhelming.
Yeah, the guy was
weight.
Like, you sure you don't want me to bring it in for you? I was like, nah, I'm good.
It was overwhelming weight. Okay. Mrs. Mooch's biceps are quite toned from lifting these flowers on a weekly basis.
It's funny.
All right, but baby, come on. You grew up in a Judeo-Christian family. You have to believe in forgiveness, mm-hmm. okay? You have to love and honor your husband and forgive him for stupid things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, do you see that stone cold Steve Austin? That is like the ice, you know? By the way, when your wife says to you, ladies and gentlemen, when your wife says to you, I'm fine, when she says those two words, or the, you know, with the little hyphen in between the two words.
No,
I'm fine.
You have a version of
very
I'm fine.
Bad. You're not fine.
Ew, you just sounded like Donald Trump and you did that hand. They couldn't see you, but you were like, very bad. That was not good. But
oh my God.
Anthony has a version of that too. He will come home at night and I'll be in the kitchen where I normally am, like cleaning up. And he's like, hi. And then he just goes upstairs. That's his version of I'm fine.
No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. I was taking the garbage out last night. I was trying to like do things.
Okay.
To win over.
You could cut the tension in here with a knife. Jeez.
I would say it's brutal.
Should I step out?
That's brutal. Well, holidays are rough in the Scaramucci family, okay? They may not be rough in your family, but let me tell you something. They get rough in the Scaramucci family. Mm. But look, all right, so back
well,
on
you
the...
You may need to seek asylum at some point, right?
Back on the asylum. If I need to seek it, I can't go to the ACLU because I'm a Trump supporter, so I'll have to go to someplace else. Maybe
Rocket
I'll go
Man.
Tom Fitman's group. Maybe I'll call Chairman Kim and see if he'll give me asylum in North Korea. I'll bring my Elton John CDs and see if I can get asylum in North Korea. I mean, it's hot in here, man. It is hot. It's cold at home, and it's super hot in here in the studio. Okay, so as we're working
we
out our
back to the
as we're working
topics?
Out our domestic, should we like call our therapist on the hotline right now?
Oh
have
my
him
God.
Come in. Should I give Dr. Phil a call?
Hotline.
Bing, bing, bing.
Okay, so let me.
I love you very much.
And I love you too. You know how he says that? They say I love you, so I love you too.
Oh, God.
I love you very much. So baby, I do love you very much. What do you think of the fact that the White House Correspondents' Dinner is not going to have a comedian this year?
I think it was a good move.
You think it was a good move?
Yes.
Ballless, cowardly?
Nah.
Okay, good. Tell me why.
I think they need to rein it in.
Okay, tell me why.
Because it started out like funny with, you know, sort of classy, funny jokes,
right.
And it's turned into basically...
Well, that's because they're attacking Republicans. So what happens with these comedians is they got to show their fellow liberals how much
no,
they despise and
like,
hate Republicans.
You know
so that's
ridiculous.
Why Michelle Wolf went totally crazy.
Okay, but I'm ridiculous. I'm a ridiculous... Like you said, I have a giggle tooth. I'm slap happy. I'm like the most ridiculous person. I'm like 5 years old. But some things are just kind of not appropriate sometimes, and they're vile-ish. You know what I mean?
Not that people need to know this, but my wife literally watches bloopers of like anchors on TV
like
with
getting
lights crashing on them.
Yeah.
Okay. There's
or
a
people
scene,
fainting at the weather.
There's
board.
A scene in the 60 Minutes thing where the light is coming down on Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and she's screaming Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as the light's hitting her. And Deirdre Scaramucci's laughing at it right now here in studio, and she watches that, I think, incessantly.
Or like when the college kid runs by the news reporter and blasts a fart, yeah. Like rips a fart.
Yeah, he's ripping the
and
fart.
She's like, oh, she's Jesus, what was that?
There was also, you can Google this, there's a news journalist somewhere in South America, she's wearing white pants, diarrhea.
Oh, right, yeah, diarrhea's that was a good one.
Them, diarrhea's in them.
No, she
My
was
wife's
like
only
Eastern
watched
European,
that.
Right, or something?
She's
yeah.
Eastern European, she's obviously having a little bit of an upset stomach.
She's trying to interview
she
someone.
Diarrhea's in her white pants. My look at her laughing about it. Okay, really,
Rocket Man.
You know that people really will go Google these things.
They will go find it
on YouTube.
So she can
or
sit
the lady
there.
Stomping the grapes. That's I think people know that one where she's stomping the grapes and she falls out of the barrel she's, and she's like, oh, I can't breathe.
Yeah, she's got the wind knocked out of her. She got the wind knocked out of her on live television.
I can't breathe.
So even with all the giggle tooth. Some people have a sweet tooth. My wife has a giggle tooth or giggle teeth, for that matter. You want the comedian pulled from the White House correspondence.
No, I think
dinner.
It's a hiatus.
Pull the goalie.
No, it's 1 year of sobering classiness.
Before
vibe.
We go, are you having another baby with me or no?
I don't know. I just gave all the clothes away. I don't think so.
No? You're not having another baby with me?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Do you want to? Yeah, I was sniffing you out for one. Okay, go back to the.
No, I've been sniffing you out for one, and like we'll be in a social setting, and I'll be like, "Yeah, I would have loved to, but Anthony's kind of old."
Jesus,
or whatever.
Use the word anchor baby. Excuse me, I'll use the word anchor baby.
That's a perfect terminology, anchor baby. If we had one, because then he'd be anchored to me for life.
No, but, you're stuck with me whether you like it or not.
Anyway, you never bit the bait.
Not going anywhere.
You never bit the bait, baby
okay, well,
bait.
I'm,
so I was
I'm,
like, all
I'm
right.
Ready. I'm ready, but go back to the comedian. Go ahead. Go back to the comedian.
So I think Ron Chernow, he said he's not going to be like a lame duck. He said he's going to be funny, but he's going to be like appropriate and classy for 1 year. And then next year we can go back to like ransacking the palace.
So Ron Chernow,
love him.
I'm a bibliophile. And my wife says I love him, totally true. I've read every one of his biographies. One of the best Chernow books, yes, obviously Hamilton, yes, Grant, that came out last year, but literally one of the best books I've read in my life, which I'd recommend to people that like finance, are the Warburgs, about the German Jewish family that was absolutely annihilated by the Nazis. They lived in Germany so peacefully, and they felt such a strong identity with the German nation. And yet at the worst time, remember, the German Jews lived peacefully for over 500 years in Germany before the specter and rise of Adolf Hitler. But this story about the Warburg family is so brilliantly researched and so brilliantly written by Ron Chernow that I actually probably will end up reading it again at some point in my life. Okay, so you're
think
okay
there
with Ron
should
Chernow.
Be, so you
I love
think
Ron
there
Chernow,
should be
but
just
I think
another
should be a
comedian? Who would it be?
Here's what I would say. I'm the president of White House Correspondents' Dinner. Maybe I could last 12 days in that job as opposed to 11. I would say, hey, listen, okay, we gotta dial it back a little. I would pick somebody. I wouldn't pick Rosie O'Donnell as an example. That would not be so good. But I would probably pick one of the Saturday Night Live people, like one of the guys that do Weekend Update. Or I'd bring the two guys up there from Weekend Update, and I'd have them read the news or something like that. And I would say, guys, you're Democrats
you know
and you're
what?
Liberal,
then it would
but
just
don't
be
give
a
the
rerun.
President such
it
a
would
hard
be
time.
A rerun of Saturday Night Live. That's
all right,
all, they,
all
you
right.
You know what I'm
all
saying?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I would come up with an idea. You and I could brainstorm a clever idea.
I
where
think they should.
Have,
if you're
going to
do something
Sarah
like
Huckabee
that,
Sanders
you got to get like
a
Chris
a dehumanizing
Rock
way.
Or something. You
yeah,
got to get
Rock,
like
yeah.
a
Chris
really
Rock.
Funny person.
Chris Rock, like, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, like you got to get out of these like B-list.
What's the dude that's on Netflix all the time that you like?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle. Yeah, so you get like someone like Dave Chappelle. And I think people would really laugh. And look, here's the thing, okay? The president had a roast about himself when he was a celebrity.
Well, he wants the dinner canceled altogether. That's how much of a baby he is.
Yeah, he's got to cut it out. He's got to knock it off. Okay, so we probably were running out of podcast precious time here, which means my therapy session with my wife is about to end. But I want to talk about Jim Acosta before we leave.
Yeah.
What do you think there? Jim Acosta, press pass revoked. They sue. They win the press pass back. Where do you think we should be on this?
No, everybody should have a press.
I really couldn't say.
Oh my God!
Oh, Siri is hey yeah. Siri, should they win the press back? But really couldn't say Siri.
Why do you have a male Siri?
I have no idea. This is something my son Anthony did. He altered the voice on here. I have no idea how to get it back to.
Remember her answer.
Did you leak the document? What? No. No. I didn't leak.
He is hesitant.
Wait 1 minute.
You're just laughing, you right? She's like,
no, no, we didn't.
Do you think he does that stand up for Ivanka? I mean, for Melania?
He did it. I think he did it before they started sleeping in separate bedrooms. I think
she would probably laugh at that. Right?
I think she was like, thought he was very funny. I think she really loved him. I think she's mad at him now. I mean, I hope she's not mad. I like her.
Should,
all right, it's okay.
We should just
maybe
team
she's
up.
Not mad at him.
Me
who the hell knows?
Team
who
up.
Hell knows? Go back to
he's
Jim Acosta.
What I'm
hopefully,
saying.
She's not mad at him. Who the hell knows? Go back to Jim Acosta.
No, I think he should be able to do his job, and I think that it was ridiculous, and I think the White House made a really smart move by not even going through all of that.
Was he rude?
Okay, so you think he's very abrasive, and yes, I think he slants towards being overly aggressive and rude and kind of disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But
does he have a license to do that? Because the president is rude and abrasive and disrespectful?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
or do two wrongs not make a right?
Two wrongs do not make a right. I'm just saying Trump has set that precedent where you can just be a jerk and it's all good. So people think they can be a jerk back. You know, they don't have respect for the office because he's changed the whole thing.
So I was asked last night at this liberal media establishment, they said the hate crimes are up and they're up 17%. Do you think that's a result of the president's rhetoric? Is he to be blamed for that?
We already talked about this. He's not responsible for the hate crimes, but
I know, baby. We already talked about it, but we didn't talk about it on the podcast, honey.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm saying that it's not helpful when people feel emboldened to do something because this guy is on TV spouting his nonsense. That's what I think.
All right.
It just
enough.
Makes the environment more, what's it called? I don't know. It's like a hate-filled environment because he just is on TV all day long being negative.
So we got a couple of listener
By
tweets.
The way, I just want to give a shout-out to all the people in California and the firefighters because California is one of my favorite places on Earth. And if I didn't have family in New York, I would live there 1,000%. And I'm just feeling terrible for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about Trump saying ridiculous things about raking the forest. So that
he's got to stop that. I think it hurts him. I think people shake their heads and say, geez, he's done a good job on policy. But this sort of nonsense, he'll end up jumping the shark on this sort of stuff. It's going to really hurt him if he keeps it up. So,
well, I just want to give a shout out to all the firefighters and all the people trying to help out there. What? And, you know, people trying to survive the terrible air quality and losing their mm-hmm. homes and all the debts. And I'm thinking about them on Thanksgiving. Imagine having no home on Thanksgiving.
I totally agree. And we've donated to the Red Cross out there, babe. And I'm sorry that it's going on. And but we got to get this global warming under control as well. But let's go to the listener tweets.
Yep.
So yes, at Scaramucci, why are you so indifferent to the volume of Scaramucci. Lies from this president? It's destructive to a functioning democracy. And so, listen, I've said that the lies are lies. I'm not out here as a sycophant for the president. I have called out the president when he's doing things that I think are hurtful to himself or unforced errors. It doesn't mean I'm going to dislike the president or switch my loyalties as a result of it. I'm just basically saying he's lying in a way to get the ire up of the left-wing media establishments and people on the left, and he knows that it's galvanizing to his people. As I try to tell my media elites, as much as you hate the president, his base hates you equally as much, and he knows that, and he's playing to that. So let's go to the next one. This is a Deirdre Scaramucci question.
It's so funny. Super important.
Super important.
Have the little ones had an opportunity to play in the snow and make snow angels or snow people? Yes, I wish that we could have pictures pop up on our radio show, but that would be impossible.
Yeah, so 6 inches of snow, you had them out there working it, right?
Yeah. I took them out on the snow last week, and the funny part about it is we were away the day it snowed, so the next day it was very warm, so the snow was melting, and I had the kids outside. They were basically splashing around in the snow, making snow slush angels, but they didn't care. So they loved it. And I'm sure there'll be more snow to come. Good old New York.
Babe, it's Thanksgiving.
I know.
Can I get a Thanksgiving pardon like the way they pardon these turkeys at the White House?
Yes.
You're going to pardon me?
I
are you going to pardon me right now? I mean, we're on the podcast. You're going to say, on behalf of my family, I pardon Anthony Scaramucci on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Swear?
I swear.
Put your right hand up. Let me see it. Okay.
I swear.
All right. Okay. Let me just call my assistant. We don't have to send flowers today. I think I'm in the clear today.
I thought you were saying, let me call my lawyer.
No. Let me call my assistant and send flowers, even though we don't have to send them today. I'm sending them anyway. How happy is this man? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And we got so much to be grateful for in our great country. So get up tomorrow morning and think about all the great things that are going on in your life and stay positive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.